Greg Scott. It's time for the Geek News with Jay Stu and K Stu.
News team, assemble!
All right, welcome to this week's Geek News. It's Jay Stu and K Stu here in the newsroom.
We are.
We had a fantastic weekend at Fun Expo. It was pretty cool. Got to talk to some Star Wars people.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Thanks to Rob D'Onofrio for having us there. Just a great day, great feeling. Everyone there was nice.
It was. It was a good time.
And hats off to Ryan, who got his new camera finally and forgot to charge it. But then he did charge it and took a gajillion pictures, which are on our page, so go to it and like it.
Our Facebook page.
Our Facebook page. We got some news to get to now. I think we should jump right in because a bunch of stuff happened this last week. And hooray, no deaths to start the news with this
week. Yay!
But I will say, in an announcement that came right out of left field for me, Arnold Schwarzenegger will star in the remake of the classic low-budget horror movie, The Toxic Avenger. That was the movie about the... I never saw it, but that was the guy who was a janitor and got stuff poured on him and deformed, and then he was an Avenger.
I never saw it. I've heard of it, but...
The guys that put out that movie were actually at Articon a couple weeks ago, like, yep, promoting all their... And there was a cartoon, a kid's cartoon about that.
Of course. Wasn't his name Toxie or something?
Yeah, it sounds familiar. And there was a Marvel comic for a bit. So Schwarzenegger, his name's been all over the place since he retired from politics. Anyhow, his role remains unclear, but he will not be playing the title character. Go figure. The Toxic Avenger is traditionally a seven-pound weakling who is transformed into a muscle-bound monstrosity after being dumped in a barrel of toxic waste by a gang of bullies.
Wait, so...
Seven stone.
Seven stone, and stone's 20 pounds, so 140 pounds.
Okay.
Silly.
I should proofread before I take from British website.
Maybe.
So he's a weakling, so I guess you really couldn't have Schwarzenegger in that role anyhow, because he's still in pretty good shape. I don't know. I've never seen the original, or the sequels, or the cartoon. And
just mark it up to another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I don't need to see.
Yeah?
I don't need to see that.
I don't need to see that. From the man who brought us such memorable characters as Mr. Freeze. What do you have for us, Case, Stu?
It looks like an Iron Man 2 reunion will be taking place. Scarlett Johansson has joined the cast of Jon Favreau's Chef. The film will also star Robert Downey Jr., Sofia Vergara, and John Leguizamo. The story follows a man who loses his chef job and starts up a food truck. Johansson will play Molly, the restaurant manager, and sometimes love interest of Favreau's character, Chef Carl Casper.
So, of course, Favreau wrote in the hot actress as being his girlfriend. Yeah, we got him and Favreau and Scarlett Johansson. We just need Pepper Potts in there. And
sure, it'll be the grand old time.
Running a food truck. Cool. Let's see what I got next. Well, just announced this morning, actually, a production has begun on Star Wars Rebels, an all-new animated series set between the events of Episode 3 and Episode 4, an era which spans almost two decades, which has never been before explored on screen. Star Wars Rebels takes place in a time where the Empire is securing its grip on the galaxy and hunting down the last of the Jedi, just as the Rebel Rebellion is setting up against the Empire. So it's going to be executive produced by Simon Kinberg, who recently signed a deal to write one of the Star Wars movie spinoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be directed by Dave Filoni, who worked on the Clone Wars series. And another director is Greg Wiseman from Young Justice. Now, the thing I was wondering about, for years they've been talking about how they had a live-action Star Wars series that was going to be set in that time period. I wonder if they're going to take all these scripts from that series and just animate them.
Maybe.
Be decent, I guess. See Maybe. Darth Vader's rise to power.
That would be cool.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job with the Clone Wars, and looks like the same people are involved. So I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, it's going to be on the Disney Channel now that Disney owns Star Wars. So...
Not a spinoff on ABC because they own them too?
No. No, well, the Clone Wars just ran for like 5 years on Cartoon Network in the States.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't really get a proper send-off, so they were hoping and praying that Disney was going to greenlight some more Clone Wars episodes. This is a pretty good idea.
Pretty good.
It's going to be a depressing series, though, if it's about the bad guys taking over everything.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, well. Maybe they'll cross over with Glee and they'll just make it a musical.
Really?
Maybe.
Darth Vader singing and dancing Footloose? And
it could happen.
I wonder who's going to be doing Darth Vader's voice. I doubt James Earl Jones is going to sign up for a cartoon.
Might.
I guess we'll find out soon. It's supposed to start airing next year.
Yes.
Yes. What's your next story?
Well, Joss Whedon has confirmed that the brother-sister pair planned for 2015's Avengers sequel will indeed be Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Whedon said, "They're not there to make things easier. I'm not putting any characters in the movie that will make things easier." Whedon first mentioned that a brother-sister act was in the Avengers 2 script late last month at the Iron Man 3 premiere.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. There's so many other great Avengers they could have thrown in there. And I guess it's in the early stages of the script. I guess they could put more in eventually. The thing with that is they have some sort of deal with Fox, because Fox owns the X-Men, and that's kind of where Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch started off with.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to refer to them as mutants. And they're Magneto's children, so they're not allowed to reference that either. So they're going to have to create some sort of new origin for them.
Yeah.
We were talking to the guys at Sketchbook Comics about that today, and these movies are kind of following the Ultimate Universe. What with Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury and the Chitauri. I don't want to really go into great detail, but in the Ultimate Universe, they're kind of a creepy brother and sister who act more than a brother and sister should. Oh. Which I don't think Disney would let them get away with. So, let's hope that's not what they're planning. I don't know, man.
Let's hope not.
I'd rather see Henry Pym, but I do know he's going to be an Ant-Man, which comes out after...
Yeah.
After Avengers 2. I don't know. Do a Google search. There's literally hundreds of Avengers I would have rather seen. Like Daredevil. Bring him in, finally. He's an Avenger, kind of. Oh, well.
Kinda.
Well, he was in there a little bit. And then they rebooted. I'd rather see Moon Knight, just like Patton Oswalt said.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What do I have next?
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I know you're fighting a cold, and that sucks.
Stupid sinuses. All that good stuff.
Well, I do have some more Marvel movie news, and it's kind of sad because I forgot all about this character, actually. It's actually Captain America 2 casting news. Gary Shandling will be reprising his Senator Stern role from Iron Man 2. Totally forgot about him in that movie. And I just watched Iron Man 2. It's his second Marvel Cinematic Universe appearance. He played a U.S. senator who was critical of Iron Man and Tony Stark. And he was eager to put the Iron Man armor to work for the U.S. military. And, of course, he was in the big courtroom scene where Tony Stark told him off. I like Gary Shandling. I don't know. Do we need to see this character again, though?
Sure.
When I first saw the story and the headline was Iron Man 2 star returns for Captain America, to like, oh, wow, Mickey Rourke's coming back? Or, I can't remember who else was this.
Olivia Munn.
yeah. I mean, Black Widow's already in Cap, too, so. Just wasn't expecting to open it up and see a picture of Gary Shandling on the set.
Yeah, no.
No. No. All right, what do you have next for us?
I don't know, stuff. At the Dallas Comic Con this weekend, Kevin Conroy appeared and confirmed that he will voice Batman in Batman Arkham Origins. Conroy said he's been working on the game for the last 9 or 10 months. Although he couldn't talk much about the game, he said that it is amazing with a huge cast and a big story.
I'm glad they keep bringing him back for projects.
Yeah.
Like he's got a fantastic voice. I know that show was, it hurts me to say this, 20 years old now, Batman the Animated Series. But he's come back for different DC DVD movies and the games, and he's coming back in the next animated feature, Flashpoint. He's got, like, a great distinctive Batman voice. And, I mean, sometimes it hurts my ears to hear different people voicing Batman now. And he never had to do the "Where is he?" Christian Bale voice when he voiced him either. So that's great news. And I also like the fact that Mark Hamill keeps coming back to voice the Joker too. That was an iconic voice from that series.
Well, yeah.
So cool, Kevin Conroy.
Yay!
Oh boy. So Summit Entertainment has announced that it will make Red 3, even though Red 2 has just yet to be released.
Yeah.
The first Red movie, starring Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, and Helen Mirren, back in 2010, that's when it was released, went on to gross $200 million worldwide on a budget of $58 million. Soon after, the studio announced that it was working on a sequel, Red 2, which we'll be seeing in theaters July 19th. John and Eric Hober, who wrote Red and Red 2, have been hired to begin writing the third installment. Production could start as early as January of 2014. Loved Red. I can't wait to see Red 2, which looks fantastic in the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should watch Red again soon to remind ourselves of what happened.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to see it again. I think I only saw it the one time.
Me too, and then we bought it and never watched it again.
Yeah, we do that.
But it's got one of the best Bruce Willis fight scenes, like, on par with the Die Hard movies, as far as I'm concerned. It's the scene where he's fighting Carl Urban, they're playing an Aerosmith song in the soundtrack, throws him through that glass coffee table. Just, it was amazing.
It was a good time.
Oh, I loved it. And I read the comic after that. The movie had really had nothing to do with the comic, except for the character's name. There was no group of people. It was Bruce Willis's character, pretty much. That was the only character in the book.
Yeah.
So, sure, Red 3, sure, green light it. That's cool.
Do it.
Do you have another story?
I do. So while appearing on the Howard Stern Show, Rob Corddry revealed some details about the plot of Hot Tub Time Machine 2. The movie will take place 10 years in the future. Adam Scott will be playing the son of John Cusack's character from the first film. Corddry confirmed that the film will start shooting in the next week or so, and Steve Pink is returning to direct it.
Huh, I wasn't expecting to hear that.
No.
A lot of people were speculating they were going to go back to the 90s for some reason.
Oh, all right. I guess.
I wasn't expecting Adam Scott to be the son of Cusack, though.
No, so that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. So we got a guy from Parks and Rec in there, we got a guy from The Office in there. And Rob Corddry. Actually, we had two guys in The Office. Clark Duke and Daryl from The Warehouse. I can't remember his name all of a sudden. Craig Robinson. Yes. Who was on an old Friends episode today that you were watching.
When Phoebe changed her name to Princess Consuela Banana Hammock, he was the clerk at the desk.
With a giant afro.
Yeah, huge hair. I'm like, dude, this was like late 90s, not early 70s. What are you doing?
Late 90s. It was mid-2000s.
Was it?
Yeah.
Not mid.
Okay, well, I think it was, when did it go off the air? 2004?
I don't know.
It was the final season.
Okay. All right, mid. Meanwhile, it was not big hair season.
And then right before him, Data was in the show from Star Trek The Next Generation. Yep. Wow, cool. All right, let's take a break. I got another story.
I don't.
You don't. We got the box office. We got the birthdays. We got the calendar. And we got the geek. We'll be right back after this.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Mostly Comics has been serving the Niagara region for over 30 years. The store sells a variety of comics and entertainment-related products, including graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Mostly also purchases rare comics upon appraisal. Visit Kim and the Gang at 413 St. Paul Street in St. Catharines, or check out their website at www.mostlycomics.com.
All right, welcome back to this week's We Got the Geek newsroom. It's me and K-Stu with the news. I got one last news item here. And Sylvester Stallone has announced that Mickey Rourke will be returning for The Expendables 3 after sitting out Expendables 2. He also tweeted that he's trying to get Steven Seagal to sign up. It's actually announced today that Wesley Snipes is joining the cast of Expendables 3. And it's rumored they're trying to get Antonio Banderas as well.
Because he has Puss in Boots.
I think he was in a Stallone movie, Assassins. And they're also trying to get Carl Weathers, who, of course, was Apollo Creed. And yeah. You've yet to see any of the Expendable movies, right?
Right. I'm not planning on it.
Okay. They're good. I like them. That's a me and my mom thing, I guess, of all movies to go to. All right, so that's your news this week. The lovely K-Stu will now read to you this week's box office.
This week's box office. Let's not open this trailer. It's not working.
That's okay. Hey, speaking of trailers, we got to watch the new teaser for Anchorman 2. And I gotta tell you, with each teaser, it just makes me want to go to it even more. December, we gotta wait till, though. Like, after Christmas. Or is it Christmas Day? Because we should just blow off Christmas dinner and go.
No, I think it's the weekend before Christmas. Like, I want to say it's like the 21st, 22nd or something.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
So in the number 93 spot this week on the box office is the movie M from 1931, which I think I mentioned last week.
You did.
It made $142 this week. I don't remember how much it made last week.
So what's the deal with this M thing? Why is that in the theaters?
Like, one theater.
Oh, one theater.
Well, it's, not it's bad only $142. I don't know how many theaters. When the police in a German city are unable to catch a child murderer, other criminals join in the manhunt.
Huh.
It's 1 hour 57 minutes. It's black and white. Peter Lorre.
Okay.
Peter Lorre.
I heard of him. All right, so that was number 94.
Ninety-three movies out this week. So good job on your $142.
Yeah.
All right, so going up to the top 10. Number one this week, Star Trek Into Darkness made $70.2 million this week. It's grossed $83.7 million. So it made 70.2 over the weekend, 83.7 overall, because it opened a little earlier than the weekend.
Yeah, I was reading about that earlier, and every story I go to is Star Trek Into Darkness is a commercial failure. What kind of a world do we live in where $84 million is considered a failure? And I guess in total it's made $165 million worldwide, which I guess they said is about what the first one did a couple years ago.
Boo earned Star Trek Into Darkness.
I'm dying to see it. I've been staying away from spoilers, and it's real hard.
Hearing good things.
Yeah.
The review here on IMDb says, watch it and ignore the critics. So I'm not going to go into...
Well, every one of our friends that's seen it has said it's fantastic.
Also known as Star Trek 12.
And you know what? If a Star Trek movie... like 2009 Star Trek, and get K-Stu into the Star Trek franchise, you know it's got to be good.
Yeah, right? All right, so number two, Iron Man 3, made $35.8 million this week, and has grossed $337.7 million.
It hit the billion-dollar mark this last weekend. Worldwide? It's an all-time worldwide number nine highest-grossing movie of all time.
And it's been out for 3 weeks?
It's closing in on The Dark Knight.
Wow.
Yeah. Once it does that, well... No, the Avengers is up there. So this, if it does that, it'll be like the second highest grossing comic book movie of all time.
Nice.
So it's the first of the first solo Marvel movie to hit that total.
Cool. Number three, The Great Gatsby, made $23.9 million. That's grossed $90.7 million.
Who'd have thunk that, eh?
And it's Leo. He's got a big following.
True.
I want to see it. I'm not going to go to the theater to see it, but I love Baz Luhrmann movies.
I was going to say, people love that Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah. I loved Romeo and Juliet. I loved Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge, yeah.
And my niece saw it and said it was amazing, so
all
I'm dying to see it. But not something that I'm going to go to the theater with, not something I'm going to drag you to.
Right.
No worries. Pain and Gain in at number four.
Right.
So, Pain and Gain made $3.2 million. So, we dropped from 23.9 to 3.
Incredible.
Excuse me. Number 5, The Croods. Number 6, 42. Number 7, Oblivion. Number 8, Mud.
Yeah, that's still in there, eh?
Number 9, Peoples. That's the Craig Robinson movie.
Okay.
And number 10, The Big Wedding. Alice the Great and Powerful at number 11 and G.I. Joe Retaliation at number 12.
Those two are still holding in there, eh?
Both made under $1 million this weekend, or this week.
Oz has been out forever, man.
Oz the Great and Powerful made $871,000 this weekend, or this week, sorry. The gross is $231.4 million. So
that's not bad.
That's done really well. G.I. Joe Retaliation this week made $580,000. And has grossed $120.5 million.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, that is this week's box office.
Wow. So, they have some stiff competition this upcoming weekend from The Hangover 3, and I hate to admit it, with The Fast and the Furious 6. Be interesting to see which one of those two win the weekend.
I'm going to guess Fast and the Furious.
People love that franchise.
And people were not as excited about after watching Hangover 2.
Right.
I think Hangover 3 looks amazing.
A totally different direction than the other two.
And hopefully other people will think the same thing, but I think there's been enough bad blood after Hangover 2 was exactly the same as Hangover 1. Yeah, that was the point.
Yeah.
It was a funny movie, so we did the same thing again. Hello.
It still made a lot of money.
Yeah. So I think Fast and Furious will...
Win the weekend.
Over Hangover. I don't think it's going to be number one. I think Star Trek will still hold on.
I think... Okay. My prediction, and we'll see how close we get next weekend, Fast and Furious 6 at number one. Star Trek's going to hang on to number two, and then The Hangover 3.
And then Iron Man?
And then Iron Man, yeah.
I don't know, we'll see. Remember, too, it's a holiday weekend in the States.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll check back next week and see how our prediction came true.
I want to go see The Hangover on my birthday and just make it a birthday tradition.
Yeah, I mean... I'd love to go see it in a theater, but there's so many big, great movies coming out this summer that we just have to... We've been lucky enough that we can take the kid to see the superhero movies, but something like Star Trek, I don't think we can take her to, and definitely not The Hangover 3.
Right.
That might be one we might have to just skip in the theater, although maybe it'll be at the drive-in with a cartoon before it.
Yeah, if we can see it at the drive-in.
With like a Pixar movie before it, that way she might fall asleep. Oh, man.
We will see.
We will see. Hey, I'll get into the birthdays before we go to the commercial break.
Okay.
Celebrating a birthday today on May the 20th, we have Dave Thomas. No, not the founder of Wendy's. Dave Thomas, who founded one of the founding members of SCTV. He was Doug McKenzie. He was on Grace Under Fire, was he not? The Brett yes. Butler show?
Yes.
You knew this for some reason. I didn't. He was born here in St. Catharines, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't understand how you didn't know that.
I don't
it's
know.
Your own town, man.
I know. We don't have him up on the flag like everybody else.
I thought he was.
No, he's not, actually. Oh. Otherwise, I would have been, oh, cool. I like him. We also have, I'm going to butcher his name, but Tamo Pinnicket, who played Jango Fett in the Star Wars movies. Also in another classic comic book movie, Barbed Wire. And happy birthday, and hopefully Stacy baked a cake. It's Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life's birthday today. She was Natalie.
So who knew?
So who knew? Tomorrow, Mr. T. Mr. T is 60 years old, by the way. Can you believe that? Still wearing the gold chain, still has the mohawk. Yeah, Mr. T. May 22nd, Wednesday, is Maggie Q's birthday from Nikita, and she was the voice of Wonder Woman on Young Justice.
Yep.
And Bruce Willis killed her in Live Free or Die Hard.
Yes, he did.
That's where we first saw her. This coming Thursday, it's Melissa McBride's birthday. Do you know who that is?
Melissa McBride.
Yeah.
No.
I'm drawing a blank on her character's name all of a sudden. Carol. She's Carol on The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
And she was, like, right up there, like, number one or number two for, like, celebrities born that yeah. day on IMDb. It's also Alfred Molina's birthday. He was Doc Ock. He was also Sopito, the man who had all the spiders on his back in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And one for you, Case 2, H. John Benjamin, Archer and Bob's Burgers.
I have a whole season of Archer I have to watch yet. This past season, I didn't watch any of them.
Don Fraser's going to be disappointed.
I will make it up to him. I will watch it before he comes on again.
All right, Friday, May 24th, we have John C. Reilly, fantastic comedian. Fantastic comedic genius. And he was Wreck-It Ralph. I'm going to wreck it. May 25th, this coming Saturday, we have Ian McKellen from the X-Men and Lord of the Rings movies. Ethan Suplee, who could not see that damn sailboat in Mallrats.
And but he does finally see it. Oh, yeah?
And believe it or not, I'm walking on air. No, Mike Myers. You want to take a guess at how old Mike Myers is going to be? Blew my mind.
50? Yeah. Wayne Campbell. Because I think I just saw 50. It somewhere. And it blew my mind as well.
Wow. If they do this Wayne's World 3.
You said doo doo.
How's he going to pull off playing a character that young?
Yeah. Well, Wayne's aged as well.
I guess so. And still acting like a metalhead?
Yeah. Why not?
All right. And next Sunday, May 26th, we were reaching here. But happy birthday, Tubbs. Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice. All right. My least favorite Miami Vicer.
It's a good day to be Tubbs.
Oh, yeah. All right, when we come back, we get the Geek Calendar, where we tell you what to watch, rent, buy, and read this week. So stay tuned after this message.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
All right, folks, welcome back to this week's Geek News, and throw it over to K-Stu, who's going to give us this week's Geek Calendar. K-Stu?
So, yesterday was the series finale of Rules of Engagement, the David Spade, Patrick Warburton show that nobody ever watched, except us. Also, Hawaii Five-0 had their season finale. We are so far behind on that. We were watching another show that we were backed up on the DVR, And there was a commercial for Hawaii Five-0, and it said, "The Return of Jimmy Buffett," and then we laughed because we haven't even seen Jimmy Buffett on his original appearance yet. We have too many backed up. And there was a new episode of Revolution, which Jay is still watching, and I will not.
It's been renewed for next year, too.
The life without iPhones just makes me sad.
Yeah, you were depressed, man.
I really was. It was scarier than The Walking Dead.
It really was to you.
I could live with zombies without my iPhone? No.
No.
All right. We're not going off on that discussion again. Hunter was very angry with me. So Tuesday, May 21st is new DVD day. True Blood, the complete season 5 is out. Lego Batman, the movie. I need to see this movie.
Yep.
I love Lego Batman. Captain America from 1990 on Blu-ray.
You
watched the red brown one?
No, it's not the red brown one. Okay. It's the one that we watched on TV one night where Ronnie Cox was the president of the United States. The Red Skull was Italian.
Oh, yeah.
The lead actor was J.D. Salinger's grandson,
I think. Yeah, yeah.
And he had fake rubber ears because the mask was chafing his real ears. Horrible piece of crap. Only came out on VHS.
And it's on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Did you see on the announcement, were there any, like, featurettes on the DVD?
I didn't check. Okay. I didn't check, but I think the cover is misleading. It looked like it was like the newer Captain America the way it was. Yeah. It was a bad movie. It's worth a few laughs if you want to track it down and watch it. I know you I couldn't believe you. You're like, "Let's watch it." Like, "No, you don't want to watch this." But
you tried to save me. You did.
I did, cuz I rented it when it first came out in 1990. So and Ned Beatty, he was in it too. And Captain America with his gosh, golly, gee whiz all the way through. It was a little much. Anyhow, what else?
No, actually, I'm checking here.
Oh, for bonus features?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Because I really, really want to know.
No, Balmer and I were going to review that one because last year we reviewed the Red Brown TV Captain America movies, which were equally horrible. So they finally got.
Oh, and Darren McGavin.
From Christmas Story?
From Christmas Story.
Wow.
The link I've gone to hasn't said anything.
This was Marvel in the early days, folks.
I wouldn't get that cover confused with.
Oh, I saw a different one then.
Oh, okay.
I saw a different one, which. The lettering was like Captain America, the first Avenger letters. I tell ya.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay, with just his shield, so it doesn't even show the dude.
So you can't tell that it's the crappy 1990 version. This is around the same time Marvel had the Dolph Lundgren Punisher and Howard the Duck and all those really crappy movies. Who knew that one day they were going to be an amazing studio? But, I mean, it's like I said, it's worth a lot of laughs if you want to watch it just to see how bad it is.
Wow. Okay.
So we went off topic a little bit there.
No, it was
totally went off on a tangent.
So you want to feel old?
I do.
Vacation. 30th anniversary DVD.
I do feel old because I saw that in the theater with my parents when that first came out.
So, yeah. Laverne and Shirley, the complete 6th season.
Now, I did my research on that one, and I have a question or two for you about it, since you were the Laverne and Shirley fan and expert.
Fan, not expert.
That's the first season where they went to California?
Yeah.
I guess they did 3 seasons in California?
Yep. And, Rhonda was their neighbor?
Yes, I remember you getting excited about Rhonda. So,
Leslie Easterbrook.
I wasn't watching it then, but I read on the wiki that Laverne and Shirley got fired from the brewery, decided to move out to L.A. or whatever, and all their friends and family decided to follow them there?
Yeah, because Lenny and Squiggy were there, and their dad. Big Ragu and Mrs. Babish.
And then the last.
Was married to her dad, but.
The last season, I guess, they cleaned house. Like, Mrs. Babish left.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about this. Laverne and Shirley went on without Shirley for, like, most of a season?
Yep. Shirley was gone. I think there were contract disputes, and she was having a baby. I think I remember something about that.
Yeah, I was reading that, but they still called the show Laverne and Shirley,
yep,
I guess.
Yep. And they talked about it. It wasn't, they didn't make it, like, so hokey that it was like, oh, you just missed her. But they kept in touch with her. Like, she went to Italy or something. Like, I don't remember specifically, but, like, she went off to Italy, but she would, like, write letters back. So Laverne would make mention, like, oh, I got a letter from Shirley.
Sort of like when Richie left on Happy Days, I guess.
Okay. So they didn't write her off completely.
And I'm a big fan of final episodes, but I never went back and saw that final episode. All it said was, the Big Ragu finally got hired on Broadway or something, and that's how the series ended?
Yeah, something like that.
And I guess...
because you know you're going to move from New York City,
yeah,
out to L.A. to try to get that big break on Broadway.
Oh, that hurts my head. I liked them when they were in Milwaukee. I don't know why I didn't keep watching it. But.
I remember when they moved to California, and it's an iconic episode. They move, and there's an earthquake. And their beds are, like, floating all over, like, rolling around.
I must have seen some of them then, because I remember that. And was that not in the opening credits as well? Okay.
And then they had the cutouts of the Beatles on their stairs, and they would, like, kiss each one of them.
Yeah.
On their way up the stairs and stuff. That was cute.
I think I read somewhere that they kind of jumped in time a little bit, too, because all of a sudden they were ahead of Happy Days in the timeline. Whereas they both started in the 50s, and all of a sudden they jumped ahead to the 60s.
I think so. There may have been some time travel.
Wow, I mean, they just...
unintentional time travel.
They just skipped a few years.
It took them a while to get to California, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I guess they weren't in New York. They were in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. My head hurts just thinking about Laverne and Shirley in California without Shirley.
We still call it Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember that.
All right. Well, thank you for clearing things up for me.
And, like, you gotta remember, like, that was back in the 80s, so we didn't have the internet. So the only way you found out about these contract disputes and what was going on behind the scenes were, like, from People Magazine and The Inquirer.
Yeah,
and
The Inquirer.
And stuff like that.
Star.
Like, Inquirer, Star, Examiner, and The Globe. My mother used to get all four of those every week.
Oh, wow.
And I would sit there and, like, get all of my celebrity gossip through that, because we didn't have the internet. I didn't have IMDb and Zap2it and all of that to go to, so it was like, okay, this is how we got our information.
I found it also pretty, I didn't know it was on for 9 years.
Yeah.
Laverne and Shirley. That's a long time.
That is.
And the thing is, I also read that the final season without Shirley, it was still in the top 20 shows. But then Laverne had, like, a contract dispute, and that's why they didn't do a 10th season. They couldn't
have
just
both of them gone and just have a Lenny and Squiggy show.
I still call it Laverne and Shirley.
Nobody wants to see that.
Wow. And did you and your friend not dress up as Laverne and Shirley for Halloween?
Yes, Yolanda and I dressed as Laverne and Shirley. I was Laverne, she was Shirley.
Do you still have the shirt with the owl on it?
I don't. I might, actually. I thought I did. I don't know, I just had a sweater, sewed an owl on it, wore a skirt. The best part was Yolanda had lighter hair, and she was Shirley. I don't remember why.
Did she have a boo-boo kitty?
I made her a boo-boo kitty. I sewed one myself for her to carry around for the day.
All right.
I don't know whatever happened to boo-boo kitty. It was in my closet for the longest time. I think I gave it to my nieces. But yeah, I would sit there, and because I watched Laverne and Shirley, like, when it was on, but then I taped them when they were on reruns, and I would re-watch them. Like, it was my friends. I would go back, not that I thought Laverne and Shirley were my friends. It was the show Friends to me back then. So I would rewatch them, and I remember pausing it and, like, seeing Boo Boo Kitty and, like, making my own pattern for it, because it's not like you could just go to the fabric store and be like, I would like a pattern for a Boo Boo Kitty, please. So, like, made my own pattern, got the perfect shape for the cat and everything. Like, I put so much detail into it, and, like, nobody cared. But I was like, it has to be perfect.
Wow. So if you're just tuning in, we're just going off about Laverne and Shirley. So,
And that was for Halloween. That wasn't even for cosplay. I should cosplay Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, you should do that for the Niagara Falls Comic Con, man.
No.
Who are you? I'm Laverne.
I'm Laverne.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, anyway.
So, back to the calendar. Thanks for answering that for me.
Wednesday, May 22nd is the season finale of The Middle. And also the season finale of Modern Family. We have new comic books coming out that day.
Ah, yes. Let's pull up the old comic book list. There's a bunch coming out.
A bunch.
All right. We've got Justice League issue 20, which is the prologue to the Trinity War, which is going to cross over with all the Justice League titles later this summer. We got Uncanny X-Men 6, where they fight the evil sorcerer Dormammu. Deadpool number 10, which, oh my god, Brian Posehn gets to write Superior Spider-Man. He's teaming up with him that issue. Right on. Speaking of which, Superior Spider-Man number 10, featuring the return of the Green Goblin. Hunter, if you're listening, I need you to come on and review that. All right, Casey, what else?
Batman Incorporated number 11. Uncanny Avengers number 8, AU. Daredevil number 26, a double-sized extravaganza. Really? Extravaganza is what it says, actually.
Oh, Marvel.
Celebrating the third year of the acclaimed series.
It is a good read, actually. I like it a lot. Speaking of exercise issues, we got Geoff Johns' final issue on Green Lantern, issue 20. He's been writing the character of Hal Jordan since 2004, and actually he brought Hal Jordan back as Green Lantern. No one gave a crap about him in 2004.
No one.
It's $7.99 for this issue, but they're going to have all kinds of a special retrospective on his work, and I'm going to miss him.
Miss him a lot.
One for Kath, Aquaman issue 20. Cricket,
thanks.
Cricket. What else?
The Flash number 20, Iron Man number 258.3.
That's from the point one series of issues. I tend to skip those. Justice League Dark 20, where they team up with the Flash and Swamp Thing. Adventure Time 16, of which states it's the first issue of a new arc and the perfect jumping on point for new readers. Yes, indeed. Let's see what else we got here on the comic book list. Young Avengers 5, Scarlet Spider 17.
Batman Beyond Unlimited number 16.
That's future Batman, Wilf Riedel.
Love him.
I know you do. All-Star Western 20, the second part of Booster Gold in the Old West. That's awesome for me. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 22. Oh, Savage Hawkman 20, the final issue of Hawkman.
Adventure Time, Fiona and Cake, number 5. Doctor Who, number 9.
Would you ever read the Doctor Who comics?
You know, I was thinking about it, because now I'm watching the show. No.
No?
Like, I watch the show, I understand what's going on. I'm not a reader, I don't need to start adding things, but at that same point...
They do have that mini-series with it's going to bring in all the incarnations of the Doctors.
And I'm watching... Like, I'm watching it on Netflix. I don't have to wait week to week. And I'm still like, I'm not getting enough Doctor right now. So maybe I should start reading it.
Quick question, because I was thinking of reading this, and it's in trade form now. What about the mini-series last year where Doctor Who met the Star Trek people?
Yeah, maybe.
In fact, I think... I don't know for sure because I haven't read it, but I think there's part of the miniseries, there's a flashback where they show... It's actually the Matt Smith Doctor in the Next Generation Star Trek, but then they have a flashback where Tom Baker Doctor Who has met Kirk and the gang from the old original Star Trek. That might be... No, and you know what? I'm not really watching it with you, but when I've watched it with you, it's been like interesting enough to make me want to watch it.
I'm sad that it took me so long to get into it, but happy that I can take the time to watch it now. Loving that you will stop what you're doing and, like, watch it with me. and not even know what's going on, and you're asking questions and stuff, which is adorable, and then I'm explaining, like, oh, this was said in this episode, and blah, blah, blah. My kid knows what a sonic screwdriver is, and what it can do, and oh my god, she just amazes me.
Yeah, you know what? If I can find a cheap enough copy of that trade at the Niagara Falls Comic Con, yeah, I'd be curious to read it. And I might just sit down one day and start watching the episodes, too.
You should, man.
I didn't realize Cybermen were cool-looking till today.
I don't think they're that cool-looking. I think they look like they were made back in the 70s and
80s. No, I thought they looked cool, and that was my first the first time I'd seen a Dalek on TV, too. Wow, we're really getting off topic. But,
no, we're not. It was Doctor Who-related.
Oh, yeah, it was.
A comic coming out.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to write that down on my list of stuff to look up, then.
All right, you do that.
Tom Baker and Kirk, come on. Green Team Issue 1, it's about a bunch of kids getting money and trying to be superheroes. Sounds like a good enough story to me. Kiss Solo, the Celestial. Who wants to read an Ace Frehley comic? Come on. My Little Pony Micro Series number 4, Fluttershy. Is that one of the ones the kid likes?
Probably.
Star Wars Legacy 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles micro-series Baxter Stockman.
There you go.
Kind of looks like Will Ferrell as Robert Goulet. And Warlord of Mars 25. So that's your comics for this week. Quite a lot to choose from. Visit your local comic book store this coming Wednesday, won't you?
Do it.
All right, what else you got for us on the calendar?
What else do I have on the calendar? Well, that's not going to help me. Hello? Phone not listening. So, Thursday, May 23rd, in theaters is The Hangover. That's actually coming out a day early.
Yeah.
And then Friday, May 24th, is Fast and Furious 6.
Cool. Also forgot to mention that tomorrow is the debut of the second trailer for The Wolverine.
Oh.
So check that out on the net. Is that all that we had there?
That's all I had.
All right. So there's a bunch of stuff for you to get your hands on this week. And just before we leave the news this week, thanks again, Rob D'Onofrio, for including us on Fun Expo. Again, we had such a fantastic time. We met some new people. Had our picture taken and
support such a great charity.
Oh yeah, definitely. And holy crap, I got to interview two people that were actually in the Star Wars trilogy. Yep. Man, wow, I sweat so bad when I was doing those interviews. So nervous.
And they were so nice.
Oh, very nice. We'll have those interviews up later this week. Thanks to Christopher Yao and Leonard Kirk for their interviews as well. We'll have those up as well. Thanks to Ryan for his help as well.
So, yeah, he took some great pictures this weekend.
He did.
Helped out with the interviews and stuff.
Definitely he did. He did a fantastic job. And thanks to John Ballmer for talking us up to getting us a place in there this year.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, man. So if you have some free time, go to our Facebook page, click like, check out Ryan's pictures. We also have our Twitter feed. We have our Pinterest page. Anything else I'm forgetting?
I think that's all.
All right. We got a lot of great stuff coming up this week. So that's the news, and we'll see you next time for more news. This is Jay Stu, and on behalf of Kay Stu, have a great week.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.